God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. I'm your host, Jason Nazurek. Appreciate you being with me here. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Quite a fun time we're having in society today. Not just for those who are just in the world, but Christ followers. What does that look like? How do we live for Christ in the world we're finding ourselves in? Well, today, one thing I want to discuss and to share is, and I deal with this question at least, what does inalienable mean for Christ followers? What does that term mean? I've shared part of this in the past, but I want to dig more into this idea because it seems as if many of us either A, have forgotten what it means, or were never taught what that means. And at the same time, we need to follow Christ as individuals, but yet still loving God and figuring out what does it mean to love others in the process. Someone recently posted something that, well, kind of piqued my interest, and I'd also like to let you know I'll be sharing with you about established with God, what is established with God as well for this half hour. But someone recently posted something that says, you know, you can give a man a fish and then teach him to fish, you know. And it's a lot easier to learn how to fish when you're not starving. Well, let's just be bluntly honest. Absolutely, of course. Friends, for those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ, I hope we can all agree that yes, that's true. Of course, as individuals, we should be doing this. Your faith in Christ is your faith in Christ. Let me just share that again. Your faith in Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, is your faith as an individual in Christ. This isn't groupthink. Yes, there's things we can do as a group. That's called the church. But as an individual, your relationship with God is your relationship with God. I would greatly encourage everyone tuning in to realize that we should not support the coercion of others to do things under threat of getting a consequence from humans for not doing certain things. This is one reason why I think many people are on the same page, really. Many of us understand as individuals we should do things. And if you're a follower of Christ, I think many followers of Christ would say, yes, we as individuals need to be doing things. But so many of us then move that to now everyone has to do that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. If someone is not a follower of Jesus Christ, they are not under the same thing as you or I. Because they've chosen not to follow God. But I get it. Some of them will try to say, well, I've got the moral high ground because I'm a good person. No, you're not a good person. See, this is where the struggle comes. As followers of Jesus, we believe that when people are born, we're here, there is original sin. We are fallen creatures. And the way back to God is in and through the gospel. Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and surrendering our lives to him. Now, If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you know what? I encourage you to go out and feed a person with what God has given you. And maybe even drive that person to a job interview. Help them feed themselves. Someone took some time and commented on this post that I put up on Facebook because I shared it on social media. And they write, well, of course this is true and a great sentiment. Meaning, you can give a man a fish and then teach him to fish, you know. And it's a lot easier to learn how to fish when you're not starving. Again, she writes, of course this is true and a great sentiment. But it is exactly what is going on today. It is the perfect example of virtue signaling, playing Captain Obvious to put in the heads of people that somehow the efforts of quote-unquote the other side somehow are cruel oppressors and have no compassion. She goes on to say, why are we all so triggered in this day and age? When I see the statement regarding give a man a fish, feed him for a day, I see a wise father taking his son out to the creek, lovingly bestowing into him the knowledge of how to read the stream, what is going to be good in the skillet, how to avoid danger as you do the task at hand. The point of the original quote was not spoken by an angry old authoritarian white man who does not want to be bothered to fish for others. Yet by adding this sentiment, you add an idea that somehow it was. Friends, before I move on with what she had stated here, really what she's talking about is what God has established and instituted, meaning the family unit. One husband, one wife, father and mother to their children. Fathers teaching their children. Let me just share that with you again. A wise father taking his son out to the creek, or daughter, lovingly bestowing into her, the knowledge of how to read the stream. What is going to be good in the skillet? In other words, what's good to cook? What is a tasty fish? Again, read the stream. That means, for those of you who aren't fishermen, that means you just don't throw your line out into the middle of the pond. It means you look for the areas where, well, the trees are casting a shadow onto the water. That's where fish like to hang out. Don't just throw it into the hot water there. Throw it into the cooler water. In the shallower water, where the bigger fish like to congregate only because, well, there's smaller fish there to make a lunch out of. And you're hoping to, well, have them bite on your lure with them thinking it's lunch. How to avoid danger as you do the task at hand? Again, for those of you who aren't fishermen, how to avoid throwing your line into the electric lines that go over the bridge? How to avoid casting your lure across the creek into the bushes that then grab a limb of a tree and you're pulling it hard as your lure shoots back at you as the fastest thing on earth, avoiding your head. Hopefully not hooking your ear in the process and learning how not to do that. That is what she's talking about here. Again, fatherhood, the importance of fathers speaking into the lives of their children. I encourage all of us to do this. As we continue on, I'd like to also just share again, not being coerced, not supporting others to be coerced to do the right thing, getting some made up human consequence because they're not following the quote unquote right thing to do, the godly thing to do. Yes, should they do it? Well, of course, but if a person hasn't decided to do it, why are we all of a sudden thinking they should follow God's ways? This is one reason, again, why I think many people are actually on the same page. Many just struggle thinking it needs to be within a man-made system of overreach within the government. No, it doesn't. This is one reason why I'm such a proponent of less laws, limited government. The government needs to be limited in power. Now, if you're a follower of Christ, again, I encourage you to go out and feed a person with what God has given to you. By the way, those of you going, why is he talking about politics? I am not talking about politics in the least. This is about living out the kingdom of God on earth as a believer in Jesus Christ. Friends, I want to dig into Romans 13, 1 through 7, just a bit. It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Friends, I'm just sharing with you out of Scripture. It goes on to say, for rulers hold no terror for those who might or who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Friends, again, that's Romans 13, 1 through 5, and here's where the conundrum happens. We need to establish who these are in our form of government in the United States. Who are the governing authorities? Who are the servants? Who are the subjects in our form of government? Because it says this, I mean, my goodness. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoers. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. So who in the United States are these? Friends, in the United States of America, the governing authorities, and I'm going to dig into this more, are we the people? We, the people, are the governing authorities that God Almighty set into place. Those who are elected into offices or have been placed there, they are the subjects. So let us read that in that context. For the one in authority, we the people, is God's servant for your good. Your, the servants, would be those elected, for the elected's good. But if you do wrong, be afraid for your rulers, for we the people do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath. They, we the people, are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer, the ones who don't submit anymore. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, to we the people, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Let's dig into this just a bit. We see, again, Romans 13, 1 through 5, 1 through 7, the reality that God is over everything and how that should be evident in our lives. Specifically, he explains how God is above all governing authorities. Are you hearing that, friends? God is the one who sets the governing authorities into place. This is a really big deal. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. That phrase, established by God, is utterly critical. Paul is telling us that this is the way we need to view the governing authorities. Now, friends, in our form of government, we the people who are the governing authorities, we give power to those who are elected within a specific boundary line. We absolutely do this. This is why in our form of government, friends, we talk about the office of the presidency and say we need to respect the office of the presidency. So when there's someone in there we don't like, we still respect the office of the presidency. The president is still a servant. Yes, in our form of government, the president, the elected officials, those who have been appointed into offices are the servants. I know this is very difficult for many of us to hear, but this is the true civics, the proper civics for our nation. So, if somebody within the boundaries of their power, again, this is why I say the way forward is back all the time, because there are things that have happened since the initiation of this country that have gone outside the boundaries of the power that have been set by those who've been placed in certain offices. So it's up to we the people then to say, you need to stop doing that. Again, even the ones we don't like, when they're working within the boundaries of their power, we need to support that. When they are working within the boundaries of their power, then yes, we the people are subject to them. Again, in a democracy such as the United States of America, we recognize that we play at least some part of the governing process, and we should take that role seriously. And it's not just voting, as we have been, sorry to say, uneducated on. Again, God is the one who establishes all governing authorities. That includes we the people. That includes those people then who've been elected into office, and they have a specific boundary line to go within. So when they decide to take away rights that we have, this is not being selfish, because Almighty God is the one who has established the authorities. Almighty God did that. And Almighty God is the one that established inalienable rights. This is a huge idea, friends. Inalienable, that word means unable to be taken away from or given away by the possessor. Not only are these rights unable to be taken away from by some human person, human power, whatever, they also are unable to be given away by the possessor. This is unbelievable, because it is an idea that is so big that for most, we just can't wrap our brains around it. Inalienable rights are rights that cannot be taken away and cannot be given away by we the people. I want you to pray about that. Think about that for a little bit as we get into a Fastcast here. Again, my name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
I would hope that by now, after seeing some very ungodly actions in our nation of the United States, many who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ are starting to finally see that there are many people in our nation wanting to change our foundational beliefs based in Christianity into something ungodly. Now, I am not in the least saying or implying that the United States is perfect at all. It is far from it. But to ignore the godly foundations and beliefs this nation was founded upon, at least in my humble opinion, is foolishness. Friends, I encourage you to find our blog post titled Do Justice, Love Mercy, Walk Humbly with Thy God, to find a prayer written by George Washington that was sent to all the governors of the states on the disbanding of the army. Friends, the way forward is back.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I have some people that will say, Jason, you're talking about politics now. Absolutely, I am not talking about politics. We're talking about fundamental beliefs now. They are not the same as politics. Politics, we can have disagreements on. Because, again, there are boundaries that are within that, well, our elected officials are to work within. Once they go outside of those boundaries, well, now it's different because now we're talking about fundamental beliefs and not just politics. Politics is a complete waste of time. I fully agree with that. Again, because God establishes all governing authorities, we certainly have to replace, I should say, recognize that those who have been established have a lot of responsibility as servants of the boss. So, we the people are the governing authorities, and we are the boss of those who have been elected into positions. Once they go outside of their boundaries of power, it is up to us to tell them, no, stop. You cannot go outside of the power we've given you. This is just one reason why limited government makes sense. Because, well, like a fire, it never gets enough. It always wants more. It always try to devour more. Should we vote? Of course we should vote. Should we pray? Of course we should pray. Should we push an agenda? Well, I really don't think we should push agendas. I think we should allow people to live in liberty. Let them do what they want to do. And there are, again, boundaries with living in our system. It also means that we need to be willing to accept when God chooses to establish something we didn't want. Again, within that boundary, absolutely. And I do encourage us to think through as we wrap this time up. Paul says that rebelling against the governing authorities is to bring judgment on oneself. That is the same as having rebelled against God. So, and this is where it gets confusing. This means in America that we must submit to the authority of those elected. Absolutely. But they also must submit to our authority if they rebel against the will of the people. In countries ruled by non-elected officials, well, the people are commanded to be subject to the rulers. However, even their rulers do not get a pass, a free pass, if you will, because they're still established by God. I encourage you to dig more into this. Go read Jeremiah 29, 4 through 14 to understand more of what I am sharing here tonight. If this has been difficult to hear or good for you to hear, an encouragement, or you're wanting to learn more, know more, I encourage you to find our blog post titled, Who Are the Governing Authorities in the USA. Again, who are the governing authorities in the USA? You can find that at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab. You'll find that there. If you just type that in the search bar, who are the governing authorities in the USA? And I do want to direct you to one more post for sure. It's titled, "The Owner is the Owner," right? The owner is the owner, right? Again, you can find out more about the ministry at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Appreciate you taking time to be with me. You can also find us on social media there, Facebook, worldviewwarriors.org. Not .org. Who am I thinking? Worldview Warriors. Also, Do Not Keep Silent. We have a Facebook page for that as well. We do have a Facebook page for Worldview Warriors Publishing, too. Encourage you to find that there. We've got numerous resources available for you in paperback and on Kindle. Again, my name is Jason Dzurek, your host for the program. You go out and make today great. I'll see you next time.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.